people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles. It says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to just go all the way to the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider. The latest release by the singer-guitarist band, It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go downstairs another tier, and about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line, there's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard. Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native L.A. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The 605, the 101, the 101, the 101, the I-10, the 210, the 605, the 101, the 405, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The red light.
Planet Earth, welcome to Skid Row Studios, Los Angeles, Nista, your host, Edward Solis, and my in-studio guests, the dynamic duo, the Cape Crusaders of all bad people, the people that save us from the bad people, Rick Kosick and Wee Man. How are you guys?
Hola, we're good. I'm good. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing good, Jason. We're here hanging out. It's Monday night.
Some people are just like at the health club on a treadmill, or some people are watching their favorite show, whatever that may be.
I don't know what's on a Monday night. I don't think there's much on TV.
Yeah, Monday nights suck for TV.
Or maybe someone's on the line too, going down the street right now, like with nothing to do. Who knows?
Or somebody's on PCH.
Or on PCH, on PCP.
Or maybe someone is listening to us anywhere in the world right now.
Or maybe someone's farting on their girlfriend.
Oh. Yeah, just like the host did.
Oh. Hey, what are you talking about?
Ed tried to tell a story. Save it for radio. You don't want just us to have the gold.
I want to share my gold.
Yeah.
I want to share my gold.
Now share it with the world.
You might as well just go with it.
Yeah, you can't.
Go with it, Holmes.
And tell the story.
Oh, well, you know, I confide in these guys, and I was like, God, you know, I think while I was like hanging out, I let one go.
Well, yeah, like this is a new girlfriend you're dating, so right.
What's her name?
She doesn't have a Facebook page or anything, so it's not public.
That,
so I can't
fine.
Say her name. I mean, it's a private. Yeah,
you call her babe. Hey, babe, you coming over tonight?
She's my little sweetheart.
Oh, sweetheart?
Yeah.
But you capitalize the W-E-E in don't you?
I'm only doing this because it's a special episode, so I'm opening up a little bit, but, you know, just...
Oh, I'm sure you did.
We got Ed really nervous right now.
Well, I just don't like to, I don't like to discuss my private life out there.
Do you think she's listening right now?
Of course she is.
Oh.
Yeah. You think?
Well, maybe she'll be one of the callers tonight who's going to want to...
She's
going to
be excited.
I know she's going to be excited.
She's going to be like, oh, my God.
At 1-800-893-9562. Call us right now.
800-893-9562. Call and talk to Wee Man and Rick Kosick.
Dude, the phone's going to ring twice.
Well, maybe it'll be her on the phone.
All right, listen. Let's get into it.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to talk about.
There is.
Okay. Now, as a fan of, Big Brother and Jackass and being able to work with Kosick on some projects, Wee Man's here tonight. And I want to paint a clear picture to everyone out there how Kosick and Wee Man met each other.
You want to start with this one?
Yeah, I'll take it. What year? It was early. Like, it was
92
BC before Christ.
No, not BC. It was definitely AD. It was in the early 90s. I was getting boards from Mike Smith, Pro Skater Mike Smith.
Oh, okay.
Liberty Skateboards.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, we're all going to go do a photo shoot one day. And this is like first time I'd ever done a photo shoot, for anything skateboard.
Was this Power Edge days?
No, it was right when Big Brother started. Because then we went and did the issue 5 right after that, once me and you met.
Okay, so we shot an ad. I shot an ad for Mike.
We shot photos, but there was never an ad that happened because we went skating. Mike didn't know what to do. So we took you to that local El Segundo spot.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where we already got that sequence where I did the nose slide, shove it out over the 4x4. So Rick shows up. Mike Smith knew him, and Rick shows up. And me and my buddies are like, oh, hey, what's going on, Rick? And Mike wasn't skating because we were out just street skating, taking him to street spots.
All right.
And Rick just started shooting photos, and he was stoked. And Rick goes, hey, you know what? We need to go out and shoot more photos like another time, but just us. I'm like, sure, and we connected and went from there.
And then Jason eventually became like a permanent fixture in Big Brother magazine, was always reoccurring. I want to say a character like you would see now in Jackass, but it was the Big Brother times. And he was one of the guys that we would be like, all right, let's put Jason in this situation. And one thing led to another. And that's when we probably, there was about a few things we shot, an interview. And then eventually led to the first Big Brother video.
And cover of that.
And you got the cover of that. And we painted them all blue.
And then it actually led to, at one point, me and Rick living together.
Really? For how long?
We were roommates, I'd say for about 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, something like that. It was short.
Yeah, it wasn't a whole year. I know that.
It was about a year.
But about, yeah, probably. Yeah, maybe. But yeah, we lived together. He had a two-bedroom apartment, and down below, like next to the garage.
It was a condo.
Yeah, condo. Rick was gnarly. He's all badass.
Big time in South Bay.
Big time editor, photo editor, a Big Brother. Oh, Flint days, right?
It was Flint days.
Charge it to the expense card.
No, it was before Flint days because it was still...
You know what? You're right. That was when before Larry Flint purchased the magazine.
It was World Days.
Still World Industry Days.
Wow. So that's how the bond started. Now, when you guys lived together, you must have like really, you know, you live with someone, you actually, you know, create a connection and learn each other's habits. Well, now, because of that, did you guys do more professionally? Like, would you go shoot him more as far as skateboarding because it was accessible?
You know, at the time I had like responsibility at the time of what we're doing in that issue. You know, who had the interview, who was going to have the cover, and what needed to be done to finish that, you know, because we're a monthly magazine. So if it worked out that, you know, Jason's going to be in that slot, then sure. Yeah, he's a go-to. It's a gimme. But most of the time, I was really busy working with, like, a lot of different skateboarders because, you know how skateboarding is. It's not really consistent. And so I had to focus on it. But at times, you know, like the time we did the Oompa Loompa.
We did it. We worked all night, filmed it in 4 days.
Yeah, originally that was supposed to be for the Big Brother video. But that never really came to fruition, and it slid right over to MTV and Jackass, and we took all the footage and we just applied it to that, and that's where that became that, you know, known as Wee Man doing an Oompa Loompa bit.
Ah, gotcha. So as far as, you know, in the public eye, people have seen, you know, Big Brother go to, you know, Jackass and, you know, the episodes and the movies. What are you guys working on now? I know you have a restaurant.
Yeah, I have a restaurant.
We had Chronic Tacos.
Yeah. We started working on it in 08 and just been going ever since. We opened up in 2010. My buddy Randy, Randy Weiner, crybaby. No, I'm just kidding. he's the president, main guy behind it.
Great.
He and I got together one day. A buddy of ours introduced us. Actually, Blake, who runs my store, introduced us. And we got drunk one night, hit it off, and he said, dude, we're totally doing Chronic Tacos, like, together and all this, and it just went crazy from then.
So the actual concept started in 2008?
No. Concept of Chronic Tacos started in 02.
02?
Yeah. Randy started in 02. He had one little store in Newport Beach, 900 square feet, pretty much as big as this studio right here. And he just went from then on. He grew it, and then when we connected, we just went bigger and further.
Killer. Now, so, as far as your menu goes, I mean, are you pretty involved with, like...
Menu's already been done.
Right.
And there's just a couple new items and stuff that we're doing, but it's a third-generation Mexican family recipe. Like, a lot of people who come in don't think it's Mexican. Like, they hear Wee Man's Chronic Tacos.
You think it's probably American-Mexican.
Yeah, like, and no, it's legit.
It's good. I've been there a few times. I enjoy it.
Yeah, we do.
What do you recommend?
I mean,
you know, I like to eat a lot.
I know.
You should take the bus down and go. Well,
we're
going to
talk about
tacos.
That. The Green Line.
You can take the Green Line to the one green point. Line.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, we brought the map.
Well, we'll get into that. Okay. We'll get into
We do, like, people don't realize, like, we do El Pastor, carnitas.
You guys sell cabeza? Do you guys get deep, the head meat?
Oh, rings? No, we don't do that.
Tripas?
We don't do menudo, no tongue.
That's
no
a little weird.
That's no,
a
little, it's that, not.
I don't know. I'm not
it's
into
not
it.
Too, Rick, it's not too weird. I used to eat it as a kid all the time.
Well, you
my
know,
dad would be having a hangover and get menudo on Sunday, and we would just think that was Sunday meal.
That was Sunday meal.
But he
but
was
the truth is, you try to get back to norm. Well, yeah, the whole deal is like, you know, growing up, you know, Hispanic or Latino, it's like you get drunk on Fridays and Saturdays. You get your backyard boogie going on. You watch the Laker game, the Dodger game.
Dodgers
the
Kings, is what we did.
Los Doyers.
Who's over the weekend?
Dodgers all the
time. Day like today? Or?
Yeah, it was today. But you get, you know, you're drinking, you're barbecuing tacos. Carne asada, you just keep drinking, and then they call the hangover in Spanish the slang crudo, C-R-U-D-O. You get crudo, and then you wake up, and then you eat menudo or pozole to bring
all
you back
day.
On your feet all day.
With corn lemon, tortillas, corn tortillas and lemon.
Yeah, lemon and the little
Monday
spices.
Morning, you're like a fresh new guy.
Yeah, your grip is so strong, you just punch a hole in the wall.
No, but no joke, most people, they think Wee Man, little white kid. Well,
they don't even know.
They don't know. Like, my dad is, I'll show you a picture of him. He is Mexican. Like, me and him next to each other, you would think, like, well, that's cool, you know. Jason took a picture with a little Mexican guy, and no, that's my dad, you know? Like,
right,
people
right.
don't get it.
So you're immersed in, like, the Southern California Latino culture, as well as a worldwide skate culture.
Yeah.
And everything that comes along with it.
So, of course.
When we could crack jokes, you could connect.
Oh,
and
totally.
I knew that, but I don't think a lot of people...
No, a lot of people don't. They trip out, and then...
Speak German. You even told that part.
Oh, yeah. No, because, okay, so my mom's full German.
Okay.
And my dad's full Mexican. But, you know, I guess my mom had a little stronger gene, and that's why I'm güero and more white looking. And,
right.
You know, and then I was raised more by my mom. And so when I was younger, and I'd be like, hey, mom, what's this? And she would say, oh, you know, she would say it in German, you know. And I'd be like, no, not that funny language. What is it? And she would get pissed because I didn't want to learn German. So when I was about 4 or 5, she just sent me to Germany to live at my aunt's house for 3 months.
Wow.
And she goes, good luck, you know, trying to survive and not knowing how to speak to anybody. And so that's when I had learned German.
So it was a matter of survival.
Oh, totally, yeah. Survival. And when you're a kid, you pick up things
quicker
and easier. And so she came after 3 months to get me, and I was just speaking German to everybody.
All right. So I got to know. I mean, you know, before, you know, there was Jackass and all this other stuff on MTV, I would see pictures of you and Big Brother. I knew about you. How long have you been skateboarding?
I've been skateboarding, like, I was riding a skateboard when I was, like, 8, 9 years old, but that's just, like, cruising down the beach.
Just to get balance.
Just balance and stuff. But I really got into it when I was about 12, 13 years old, when I started looking in the magazines and wanting to copy the tricks. You see guys board sliding on curbs, yeah, and doing stuff like that.
You're actually trying to, like, learn the relevant tricks,
yeah,
and
what's
keep up.
Going on then? Okay. That's about 12, 13 is when I was really getting into it.
What were some of the skateboarders that, like, inspired you to, like, really try to take it to the next level?
The Gons, Nottis,
awesome.
All those, you know, the guys that were big guys in 87, 88,
right,
you know? Steve Cavallaro, Tony Hawk, Tommy Guerrero.
Oh, old school Bones Brigade.
Yeah, the Bones Brigade. Animal Chin came out. And we watched that video every day one summer, you know? And
yeah, I miss that, those days when you would get a new skate video and you're like, this is all you watch for like the summer, you know?
Yeah, you buy it at the skate shop and like every day you just wake up, watch it, and try
just
to mimic
play.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then go try and mimic those guys, you know, pretty much.
Yeah, and then if you don't find the terrain that exists, you just go to Home Depot and buy wood and try to make something.
Wood and PVC coping flat bars back in the day were the craziest thing. You remember those, Rick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Rick was a big time skater too.
I know. He rolled.
Him and Super Dave, his buddy that does music, was a roller skater, but on vert.
Yeah. Like quad?
Quad.
Not rollerblades.
No.
No blades. It was quad, yeah.
Quad skates.
We would go like to Upland all the time and maybe Del Mar and like all the different backyard ramps during that time period of skateboarding, and it was fun. You know, those were the simple days.
Very simple and no internet.
No internet. It's just you and what's in front of you to make the most of it.
Not everybody had a camera phone or a camera video.
Yeah, you're buying your records to listen to music.
And books.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So we're going to take a break.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by The Market Grill in Monrovia, California. They're going to be bringing some food by next hour or so. Rick is going to play something from his personal playlist. He thought this out. You see, what you don't understand is when I get an email about Rick and music, he says, hey, man, I'm putting together a playlist. I said, okay, I won't try to play my band over and over.
Yeah, you know, it's all about, I think the songs I picked tonight are just a bunch of new music that probably no one's never really heard. And I like it. And I think everyone else will enjoy it too.
All right, Rick, let her rip.
Okay.
right, welcome back. Rick, what was that from your personal playlist?
That was Sasquatch. They're a local band here in Southern California, Los Angeles. Song Gotta Get Out of Here. And the one we heard before that was Film. That's Dave Lombardo's band.
Oh, okay.
And the song was called Area.
All right.
And we opened up with the song from the Sound City soundtrack.
Fear.
Yes, Leaving.
And the Foo Fighters, it, right?
Leaving is so awesome.
Yeah, he's
Leaving
amazing.
Is one of my musical heroes.
Is he really?
Yeah, Leaving is amazing.
I remember seeing Fear, I think like 93 at the Palladium with MDC.
I saw Fear at the Palladium too, and they played, was it Toy Dolls? Did they play with the Toy Dolls?
No. Sure, I don't know.
It was a band called Skatin' Eggs or something. Skatin' Eggs.
I know what you're thinking about. I don't know how to pronounce it. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that was like pretty, you know, one of those life-changing shows. Like you see the Ramones or you see, you know, one of those bands. But,
you know, I was really lucky, you know, when I was younger, I got to see a lot of punk rock bands in the 80s and that whole English movement that came through Los Angeles. And like, I'm saying GBH for the first time, Discharge, Exploited, like all those punk bands.
Exploited,
I saw
so amazing.
I saw all that shit.
Where were we at? Fenders?
Vendors, it was all over. Like, right. They'd have like this little, they'd rent out halls here and throughout Los Angeles. And, you know, and they'd have a show and there'd be a riot afterwards. And like, you know, it just never really worked out. But, you
right.
know, until like,
what show wasn't there ever a riot
no,
at?
No, I'm like, saying a lot of these places, there's always like something where the police would come and it'd be a full scale riot and you're running for your life. And that, you know, you're almost getting killed by a gang.
Or almost stabbed.
Yeah. Scary.
Like shows where like, you know, it was like gangs would all, like punk gangs would be at the show and different bands and stuff. And then after the show, there'd be a pit and people are pulling knives and you're almost getting stabbed.
God, I remember when I put together the Jackass Rock Show around the second movie and we had the Smud Peddlers play at Safari Sam's.
What about when they played the strip club?
Well, that was Big Brother days.
Oh, okay. The Jackass
it was during the second movie and we had it at Safari Sands. We had all these bands peddlers.
Yep,
they just
I remember that.
Drew the most obnoxious crowd and just, next thing you know, there's a full scale.
The South Bay came up.
Oh, geez.
The South Bay is a rough crowd.
Is you it really? I thought they'd be like chilling at the beach.
Not the punk part of the South Bay. You got to think.
Well, that's where Black Flag is from, the South Bay.
I live down the street from the church. Okay. I'm on the same street half a block.
Right now?
Right now, my house is half a block from where the church was.
The famous church.
The Black Flag Church. My 12th grade teacher, Donnie, or I can't forget, but the lead singer bassist from the Descendants. It was his mom. She was my 12th grade teacher.
Wow.
Like Pennywise is from my town.
I mean,
Black
Pennywise.
Flag, Descendants, Red Cross, Pennywise, all those bands are
Hermosa
South Bay.
Beach, Bay, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Fletcher pretty much runs it now down there. I think.
Yeah.
Has he got it on lock or what?
Between him and we.
Him and we.
Dude.
Now, the Leaving song that you played from the Sound City Players, I take it you have the whole record.
Yeah, I did. I bought it.
Yeah, that's a great record. And I saw that show at the Palladium.
I didn't get to go to that. I was like, you know, I just didn't know about it.
Right. And that show was like 4 hours long.
You. No, it's not like that. Because, you know, like, it was one of those, it was tied in with the premiere of the movie. And I think if you, you know, it's okay. You know, I bought the movie and I watched it that night when everyone was at the concert. I love that movie, by the way.
Oh, it's a great documentary. Yeah. But the thing about the best quote of that movie is when Dave Grohl goes, you know that Fear record, the record? He goes, out of his face.
Yeah.
That sound comes out of his face. Talking about Leaving.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's rad.
I have a first pressing Fear More Beer. Vinyl first pressing.
That's legit, man.
Yeah.
Now, is that on colored vinyl or just regular black?
Oh, black and white. Album. And the two F's were in gray on the first pressing.
Okay.
And then on the second, like, pressings of them, they turned it to white.
Wow. You know what? We got a caller.
What?
Yeah. But wait, before we get to the caller, you know why we took a musical break?
Why?
And I was tripping. You just threw a break at us.
Tell us.
For some reason. And then you said,
we got all this food
in
here now.
We got food from the marketplace in Monrovia.
No,
but tonight's episode is brought to you by the marketplace in Monrovia, California. Thank you for the food tonight.
But that was like second reason why we took a musical break.
The Market Grill.
Thank you very much. The first reason was Ed was shaking in his pants so much that we talked about his new girlfriend.
Right.
And he farted.
That he farted on her or at her or wherever.
Right.
No, it wasn't even that, Rick. he had to go and call her. He goes, dude, we got to take a break right now. And then he like ran out like if he had a poop to do.
But instead, I didn't take the bathroom key.
Babe, is that cool, man? I know it's a little crazy on the in there.
But you know what?
I'll make it up, babe. What do you want? You want me to bring home some Denny's or something tonight for you? I love you, babe.
Market grill right here. Yeah, kidding me? Look at all the delicious food.
Kissing again. Dude, we're going to probably take a break soon again. He's going to have to call her again.
And thanks for listening to Los Angeles Nista. This has been a short episode.
Take the car.
There we go. I'm a good sport.
Headphones.
Yeah, put on the headphones.
All right.
And you're right. I did call my girlfriend.
I told you did.
I'm being a good boy.
You're we know who wears the pants in this relationship.
Hello?
Oh.
Hey.
Am I on?
Yeah. You're on, dude.
You're on.
Oh, how long has that been going on? Oh, hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good. Great. You're on with Wee Man and Cossack.
And Ed, the girlfriend kisser.
How many people are there? I see. I'm looking at this picture of Wee Man in his BVS shirt.
Yeah,
and I see three people in the background, two bald dudes and a chick.
That's the Monrovia. That's the Market Grill people. They drove all the way from Monrovia.
That's the lounge area of the studio, and those are the good people from the Market Grill.
Brought us
a
lot of food.
Nice studio. I'm waving to them on my computer. Can they see me?
They're waving to you guys. Way back.
No, they can't hear because we have to have headphones on to be connected to the phone. They can't hear, but
they can hear it out there.
They're giving a shout. They're waving back.
They can hear it out there.
Oh, they can.
Yeah. State of the art.
Dude, you guys, Skid Row Studios is like badass.
Yeah,
it is.
You guys are up to date.
What's the new name again?
Oh, it's Rose Skid, because you don't know what you're going to do in your pants.
Exactly.
Can I ask questions directly to the talent that you have on there?
You're on. You're asking questions already.
Do it.
You got one more.
First of all, my question to Poncho.
It's not Poncho, it's Wee Man.
It's Wee Man, dude.
Wait.
Who's Poncho?
He's another guy.
It's Jason, bud.
Yeah, man. Get your facts straight. I thought you looked at the flyer.
Come on, bro. Come on. It's easy to check shit with a Google search, you know?
He's being funny.
I'm sorry.
Well, what's your question?
I was thinking of his skateboard name. Back in the day, he used to skateboard. his code name was Poncho. He used to tag it all over the place.
There was another little dude named Poncho.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing that.
Hey, my headphones went off.
I know. That was some old... that was like old 15-year-old humor. I'm sorry. That was...
It's all good. What's your question now?
Right. Seriously, my question, my honest question is to Wee Man about the burrito operation.
The burrito operation?
He's talking about his restaurant.
It's Wee Man's Chronic Tacos.
He just wants to backwards everything he's talking about.
Well, what's your question?
I'm sorry. I'm on the East Coast here.
Where are you calling from?
Wee Man's Chronic Tacos. I want them to expand from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Don't worry. We've tried. We have people, you know, trying to franchise
out.
You
might start making cheesesteaks or something.
No, we really do. We have people trying to...
No, you need slices.
No, we have enough pizza back there.
We need good burritos up here, on the East Coast.
Well, where are you calling from?
Get people that live
I'm
out there.
I'm calling from upstate New York.
Oh.
Utica, New York. And
all right, well, gather up some people, get some money together, and franchise one. Give us a call.
Yeah.
Send in an application. We'll send one out there.
We'll put it in the wish list.
This is just where I'm calling from. My actual apartment is on Miami Beach. You know, another part of the East Coast. You might be surprised.
Well, why don't you get some people together over in Miami Beach and put one out there too?
I got the people together. How many? Are we talking money or people? I mean, I got the customers. I mean, you want to set this up? We can set this up.
Well, we can talk that about that another time.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, yeah. All right. That question was, properly addressed and answered. Thank you very much. And then now my question to Rick. Trying to think of a good one here. What would be a fair price for a time machine?
There is no price.
It's priceless.
Exactly.
Hey, twist another one back, pass it on, and have a good night, buddy. It was good talking to you.
Take it easy, guys.
Yeah.
Later, dude. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Utica, New York, upstate by Rochester, I believe.
But then he was in
He was stoned. He smoked some pot.
But we're checking the live stats during the break when I was calling my girlfriend.
Ooh.
To smooth things out, like you said. No, but the serious thing here is we have people listening to Vancouver right now, Mexico, Los Angeles, all that good stuff, you know? What I want to know is when you guys were taking the bus back in the day, I want to hear some good stories. I mean, before there was a red line, there was just the bus.
Yeah, well, you know, we got a little metro experience. Yeah, we have story.
No, are you telling me that's with both of you on it?
Yes,
really.
Let me tell this one. There's two.
You mean
of them.
I'm not the first one to Rick. Do that? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, there was a time when we were shooting.
I'm joking, by
no,
the way.
Dude,
I'm
just, not
I'm
the being, blue guy one, Rick.
Let me tell that one first.
You tell that one, and then I'm going to tell the
next one.
Okay.
So, but around the time when we were shooting the cover for the first Big Brother video, they were just finishing the Green Line, and right. It happened to go
they
right
to Redondo, right?
It goes
to Redondo,
right
but
to El Segundo.
It comes from Norwalk to Redondo, yep. and we picked it up in El Segundo.
Yeah, so and it happened to be right dead smack in front of the office where World Industries was, and we got to the point where we were allowed to get on it, and so we were taking pictures with Wee Man when it was painted blue and stuff. We happened to jump on the Green Line, him painted all blue. And then we kind of went into the neighborhood up a little bit. And then, like, people were tripping out. They're like, what the fuck?
So you went towards Norwalk.
Yeah.
Towards the hood.
So you were, like, where the Rosa Park station is.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, yeah. right where Compton.
Yeah. Yeah. All right there. We kind of went
and
a little too far.
And you were
blue?
Yeah.
And I was with orange hair and only wearing, like, shorts.
Completely,
yeah.
Blue.
And I was naked, too, because underneath just blue shorts, because the girl who painted me, the wardrobe lady, she kept touching it every time she'd go up my shorts and, like, paint me blue. She kept, like, flinging it with her hand.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Little insight there. little flirtation on
the
set.
The underbelly of the flirtation.
Hey. I mean, she probably did it for free, so she's got to get something out of it.
Yeah.
So what was the reaction with people? I mean, when he's flipping out?
Tripping.
People just talking shit.
People were like, I don't know what I just smoked, but it's some good
stuff.
He's
some little midget, like, blue with orange hair. It was probably, they were tripping people out, you know? But I mean, it was cool looking, but, you know, they not many people. And what was really funny is when we were shooting that bit for the video, we went around Rodeo Drive, and I remember this one part, Jason walks by. And this woman screamed at the top of her lungs. Like,
yeah. Like, ah!
Yeah, like, yeah. She just saw a murder.
Something. And it was like, that was, man. It's too bad we didn't film Big Brother, like, as if it was a TV show. Because it would have been really, really good.
So that was actually, like, I mean, she got scared from that experience.
Well, I mean, you don't really see that often, you know? And I just, it was cool. You know, it was different and shocking, I guess.
What will it take to get you on the Red Line?
Which one's the red line? This one right here?
Downtown to North Hollywood. Or what will it take to get you on the gold line? You down for a little ride? Let's do it.
Right now?
No.
Oh.
But let's plan it out. Let's go.
Let's go skate. We'll hit spots. And then we'll jump on the red or the gold line to the next skate spot.
Exactly. It's the Wee Man Caravan. The skateboard caravan.
So let's take this. Should you share the next story?
You want me to tell the next story?
Yeah, it's on
you. I'm going to make it quick and easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So me and Rick were just chilling, and the blue line.
No, it was the green line.
Oh, the green line, I mean, was, you know, it's just Bill. We already did the blue guy segment. And we're like, man, we should just take this all the way. Let's see where it goes. So we jumped on the Green Line one night, probably about 8 o'clock at night, and took it all the way to Norwalk to the end. Okay, everybody off. This is the
Norwalk.
End.
Norwalk.
Okay, but so we thought, like, you take it to the end, it turns around, and you come back, right?
Right.
But we took it to the end.
And it was the last one.
It was the last one.
Get off.
We had to get off.
And you guys
get
are off. There.
We're like, whoa.
In that big parking lot.
Yeah.
Desolate.
That's right by the community center and all that. And, we're like, no fucking way would we, like, it's just me and Rick. And it was like probably like a Wednesday night or something. We're like, what do we do? And we're like tripping. You don't have cell phones back then. We didn't have nothing. So, dude, I think we had to scrounge together change and take the bus straight back down Imperial.
Oh, the worst, going to the worst neighborhood ever.
Wednesday night through Norwalk.
Start in Norwalk.
Start in Norwalk.
Come through on Imperial, past Grape Street.
Right.
And all that, like... It was rough.
Basically, all the areas NWA talks about.
Oh, yeah. We went on an NWA tour.
As the NWA Wednesday night tour right there, right?
Totally. And it was just me and Rick.
No cell phones.
No cell phones.
Yeah.
Back then, you sent a smoke signal to try and get somebody to come around.
Send the homing pigeons.
Hey, you know what? We have another caller.
Whoa.
We
do?
All right, let's
take it.
All right, let's take this call.
Hello?
Hello.
You're on the air with Wee Man and Rick Kosick.
Oh, really? Is that the truth?
Yeah, no, the truth. We lied to you.
Yeah, it's April Fool's.
Totally lying.
This is...
All right. No. Okay, you're not lying. Wee Man, yo, I'm a big fan of your work, my man.
Thank you.
I met you previously over at a 2000 skate shop in Whittier, California.
All right, cool.
Give a little shout out to them.
Yep.
And you guys fucking kick ass. Just got to give a shout out to TFS over there. They're posting up your stuff over on Instagram, telling everybody to listen, and I was one of the few. Or as I know of now, the few. Maybe there's much more than me, but just got to give a shout-out to you guys. And, you know, give a shout-out to also Travis and Brandon, who are putting work over there at Two Felons.
Okay.
And Brandon is sick, and he did get sick of a flesh-eating virus, which I'll totally honest with you right now. I'll do a little good work for my man over there. And they're taking donations to help him out and his family, because... He's laid out in the hospital for a while, and I know all those guys over there. You go into the skate shop, you will see Wee Man memorabilia for days. Stickers of Wee Man right there by the pisser. Every time you take a dump, you get to look at Wee Man. So,
or I'm actually looking at you taking a dump.
Yeah. Right there.
How about that perspective? Try that one on for size.
You are right there. Once you sit down in the toilet, you look towards the doorknob and you see Wee Man right there.
Waving at you.
Rocking out.
Winking.
Yeah, it's kind of erotic. Very erotic.
Whoa. Hey, buddy. Whatever you're into, that's all cool, right. You know?
We're just trying to have a good time, okay?
Yeah.
Just calm down. We're trying to have a good time.
Hey. This is Skid Row Studios, not XXX, whatever dudes do studios.
Yeah. It's not dude on dude studios. Or it's not dudes that look like girl studios.
It's not like whatever you're into doing with dude studios.
Yeah, dude. So just go do it like Nike.
All right. Cool.
Just do it.
Now.
Anyhow.
Taking another bus down Imperial.
All right, you got it. We'll be on Imperial pretty soon. We'll stop by. We'll wave hi and say hello.
Yeah, dude. Take care. All right, you guys have a good night.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Adios. Thanks.
I wonder how many people out there actually knew that Wee Man knew what Menudo was. I wonder if they thought he was just like the white dude or
dude, my balls grew bigger because of Menudo I ate when I was a kid.
Like I said, it puts hair on your chest and makes your grip strong.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And we have another caller, so let's take that call.
Hey, what's up, guys?
On the air with Los Angeles Nista guest Rick Kosick and Wee Man.
What's up, dude?
Yeah, I just called in earlier and I had forgotten my question for Rick, and then I remembered it.
Same dude.
Wow.
Good job, screener.
We want to thank the both of you for listening tonight.
We got two people.
Rick, you and I share very similar tastes in music. I give up on bands a lot quicker than you do, though. One of them being The Descendants. I saw them in... I think 1995, and it was a great show because I finally saw, you know, this band that I loved from the ages of like 13 to 17 when I was 19 and got really happy. But I heard like one or two new songs from that album, Everything Sucks, and never listened to it again.
You don't like that record? The lead track, Everything Sucks, is great.
Should I give it another try? I just came across it. I'm house sitting at my parents' house.
Definitely give it another try.
Are you high right now?
Dude, he's totally high.
Freaking medical marijuana.
Give it a go.
He's wearing white pants. He's on the beach. Of course
Come on. I'm in the winter up north.
Yeah, it's cold up there right now.
There's snow coming down right now out my back window. It's crazy.
I'd say break out all the old albums and give them a go again.
I'm not going to bring out all the old ones. I don't have time for that, Rick, but I'm going to definitely tonight listen to Everything Sucks, a few tracks while I'm stoned, and then write a review and send it to you.
Fantastic. Maybe we'll post it at skidrowstudios.com.
But yeah, you gotta send it via U.S. Postal Mail with a stamp on it.
U.S. Postal Mail.
Yeah, we're doing everything
exactly
old school.
I have an old envelope, a Big Brother envelope with Rick's writing on it.
Hey, take a picture of that and send it.
Send it right now to Instagram. Put it on Instagram.
Yeah, put it on Instagram. Tag us.
Right now, put on Instagram. 1 o'clock in the morning, I don't have an Instagram account, but you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. All right. I'm going to make some coffee.
You got to at Rick Kosick, one full word, and I am at I am Wee Man. And what's yours, Ed? Or
ES underscore 13, like
S Orale 13. S Orale 13.
Estrese.
Estrese. Orale.
Eddie Solis 13. ES underscore 13.
I will. Wee Man, you followed me for a little while on Instagram last summer when I had one before.
Yeah, dude, I'm totally down. So come on back.
We're welcoming you back.
It's an open door, bro.
We're welcoming you back.
Just be cool. It's an open door. Maybe it's an open back door.
Come back to Instagram, and I'm coming to LA in July, too. But I got to go now.
All right. See you later.
Come down.
Later, man.
His boyfriend's there.
Man.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Got hot there for a second.
Hey, both our listeners called in tonight.
Both our listeners called in.
It's an all-time record. There's Skid Row Studios.
Yeah. I like the backdrop behind you guys right now. It's pretty awesome. But yeah, no pictures.
Are there cigarettes in there?
Yeah. No pictures, please. This is a very, not for the faint. Not for the faint.
By the way, this show is brought to you by, what's the name of the restaurant again?
The Market Grill in Monrovia, California.
Very delicious food. Yeah. I'm just staring at it right now.
They are supporters of Los Angeles Nista, and they make great double cheeseburgers, bacon cheeseburgers. They make these awesome chocolate chip bacon cookies with bacon bits. Awesome stuff. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And their fries, and they make their own dipping sauces. I mean, come on. Ooh la la.
I'm just glad they're not making Mexican food.
Yeah,
because I don't want them to compete.
No, yeah, exactly. Hey. Oh, yeah,
what happened?
See, I'm smart. I didn't bring no Mexican sponsors as far as for Mexican food sponsors. I was like, we're going to keep it.
What do you mean? No, all you had to do was make a phone call and we could have had a Mexican food sponsor.
Wee Man's Chronic Tacos?
Duh. But you know what? We're glad that we have the Market Grill tonight.
Yeah,
next
absolutely.
Time, well, the Market Grill's being interviewed... Next time, we're doing Chronic Tacos as catering.
We'll see you here this Thursday.
Thursday?
You check with your publicist, right?
give me like 2 weeks.
All right. Yeah, exactly. 2 week notice. All right. We got another caller.
Wow.
Who's one of them?
Our third listener is actually calling in.
I bet you it's one of the two again.
Let's see.
Hello. You're on the air.
We hear you.
Welcome.
Well, I guess they hung up.
They hung up.
They got scared.
That's all right. They got scared. they're as scared.
Dude, it's so funny. At my restaurant, the everybody working there gets crank called all day long.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they get crank calls.
What's the number?
800-893-9562.
Actually, I won't give out. The people have to guess the area code. But the phone number is 316-TACO.
Oh, well, there you have it.
316-TACO. Dude, I'm Angelino. I know my shit, man.
Oh, well, this guy's been on the green line.
I've been on the green line, the gold line, the purple line, the red line, and the blue line.
This guy's the king of the lines.
Travel lines.
Not the gangster coke lines that are that big.
Yeah.
Just travel lines.
Well, you guys are taking this show to another level.
Well, that's what you got to do. You got to elevate,
bro. We're bringing it back because we're talking about mass transit.
No, dude, you got to elevate. You got to elevate,
but circulate.
Man. Keep circulation going. You know what I mean?
So, Ed, I brought this poster.
Wait, we got another caller.
Okay, here we go.
All right, you're on the air with Los Angeles Nista, Wee Man, and Rick Kosick.
I got a question for Wee Man and Kosick.
What's your name, dude?
Is there a chance for another Jackass?
Not right now.
Maybe a rebirth?
Nope.
And we would love to have another movie, but it's
right now is new.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, bud. Nice asking everybody's question.
Yeah, that's the one big question we get all the time.
Yep.
And, you know, it's awesome that we have this many devoted fans to what we've done. But right now, it's there's not even talk. So,
nope.
It's all good. But thanks, man.
Sleep well. Just put a DVD back in.
Throw a Jackass party in your own house and throw, like, you know, put the DVD on and have all your friends.
Buy all the seasons, right? And then
go
put all the movies on.
Get a Minutemen record and put the record on.
And just watch the Jackass stuff with, like,
with no volume.
With no sound.
Because
they have the Minutemen record on.
Right.
Speaking
tequila
of South Bay punk rock.
D. Boone and Mike Watt.
Damn.
San Pedro.
That's where they're from. Online? Did he hang up?
He hung up. He was bummed. He's crying. He's sad now.
Oh, don't be so mean.
Ricky broke his heart.
We got another caller. You're on the air.
Hey, it's me again. I'm the original caller.
Oh, jeez. It's
great. We got three people listening.
What's up, dude?
He's called a third time.
Yeah, I'm on the hunt for that the envelope that was addressed to me from Rick that was returning my negatives. But in the meantime, I found number two from Big Brother, the oversized one.
Okay.
Oh, the one that came in the Pops.
Tabloid size? Was that tabloid size?
It came in the Pops box.
Daniel Bastille on the cover? That was number two.
Rick would know how it came originally. I don't know. I got a second
The big issue?
Yeah, the giant one.
That was
the second issue. I wasn't working there yet, so.
Right. I haven't, like, I'm afraid to touch it because, like, it's worth so much, supposedly, on eBay that, like, I haven't really, like, read it as closely as I read my other ones. But I'm leafing through it, and it looks funny. It's like, hard to handle, like the Black Crow song. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to take it into the shitter with me. It's just so big. But it's in, like, pretty good condition, and I just thought you guys might want to hear this. I'm loaning it to my friend's skate shop so they can hang it up on the wall.
You're going to loan it?
Oh, that's going to get destroyed. It's going to be gone. It's going to be destroyed. I would not loan it. I'd go to, like, a comic book store and get those covers that they put, like, they put a cardboard backing and a plastic cover over it, put it in that and save it for a few more years, dude. And then you can thank me later on when you become a gazillionaire.
Thank you frequently anyway for other reasons, you know, spiritual and stuff. But no, I hear
dude,
you.
Thank you.
You balance them out, dude.
Thank you.
But money wise, really, what do you like?
Seriously would put it like I just said. Go to a comic book store and put it in.
Several hundred dollars, like eBay says it is.
Yeah, but don't sell it right now, dude. The economy's low right now. Wait till the economy's high.
Houses are selling good.
People are just spending money like nothing. Then you could just sell that thing for shit ton.
Yeah, dude, just wait till the next trend comes back, like in the 90s when everyone got a house and rims for their car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just max out their car at Best Buy. Just fucking shit up in the suburbs.
We got to take another call, man, but keep Big Brother alive. Bye-bye. Love you, bud.
Love you.
Bye.
Hey.
Odalek.
Orale, homie.
Orale.
Orale.
Orale. Well, I'm keeping my shorts on with your orale.
Not orale. Orale.
Orale.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Because Ed's got to call his girlfriend again.
I'm going to call my girlfriend because Rick, he brought this well-thought-out playlist for everybody.
I'm keeping my headphones on just to listen.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready?
Now, let's do this.
Yeah, we are.
I don't know if you are ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, we are.
Let's see what you got, Caustic.
Here we go. Sorry, I'm in my zone.
Your zone?
I'm a man. Well, so nauseous I can't. under the water. It's cold and it's gray. My torrid autumn. Another season decays. Open up the hollow. Down. I tell you it's a problem. Just when no one's around. But then I know what's wrong. God, you're complicating everything. We'll be right back.
Los Angeles Nista. I'm your host, Edward Solis. And my in-studio guests, Wee Man and Rick Kosick.
Yes, hello.
How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah, was that a fart?
Totally was.
Yeah, was that in honor of me?
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah. Tonight is totally an honor for you farting on your girlfriend.
Do a real one.
You know what's weird now? What? Anytime from now on, if I ever have a chick over or whatever and I fart on her, I'm going to think of Ed.
Think of me, dude. Yeah. That's probably almost every night, right?
No.
So you're going to think of me every night.
Did she hear it or was she still asleep?
And if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. So yeah, dude, I would be in sight and in Wee Man's mind in your fucking dude, head.
Did she hear it? Did she say anything? Did she comment on it?
I don't remember. It was all a blur. I was drunk all weekend.
No, when you called her right now.
No.
Are you talking about
this?
I don't drink anymore.
Anymore?
Rewind.
Wait, stop the green line.
Put the fire water away.
Stop the red line.
Put the fire water away. Stop the gold line.
Oh, yeah.
Stop the MTA number two.
You know, stop the 232 that goes down Sepulveda in front of Wee Man's Chronic Tacos.
Here's something to talk about, them putting a stop on things. You know, I heard a news report the other day, and there's this big discussion about more. They're apparently going to make more trains around the country and stuff, but yet they can't even get the bullet train in the production that they've been talking for the last 10 years. You know, why is it still like this after all this time that they still can't really get this transit system going here correctly in California?
Okay, I got a serious question for you, too. I mean, both of you guys are originally from SoCal.
Yes.
And you're both well-traveled, being a part of Jackass, et cetera. You know, going all over the place.
Yeah, we've been all around the world.
We're worldwide, guys.
Yeah, we're worldwide.
You guys are world-class.
We're world-class.
World-class dudes.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Now, all right, let's take this call.
No. It's that one guy. Let's keep talking.
Yeah,
we're
going to be the guy.
All right, yeah.
So we're back to we've seen a lot around the world.
You've seen around, you've been to a lot of cities, a lot of countries.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the comparison. Do you agree that other cities have one-upped L.A. with the public transportation system? They make it very easy and accessible?
I don't think they one-upped L.A. I think L.A. was just built really early in the day, and the freeway system was ahead of its time during the 50s in the time it was built, you know? And they never knew what it was going to end up being now. But now that cities are being built later, then, you know, they're learning from what we've done already. So I don't think it's a one-up. I think it's just learning from what we've done. And now, you know, as a human being, as, you know, people in nature and whatever, we're just learning from what we've done and we're moving on.
But why does it take so long to move on?
There's so much red tape. There's so much
Okay, so the bullet train from LA to San Francisco. Just think of how many different properties that was.
You think a lot of people are just fighting it?
People are fighting it, and people want so much money to buy the land that they own.
But it would bring so much more into these little towns.
Yeah, say your
money and the economy will grow because of it.
Say you own a town. Say, I'm just saying Oxnard, whatever. You own like a big chunk of land and they want to come.
I would build some great restaurants and rest points where people can stop along the way and eat and visit the town, and it brings money into that economy.
Rick, I'm totally backing you on that one. I agree. But you got to think, one man's dream is another man's nightmare.
It's not about a dream. It's about a way of getting people.
It's about being practical.
Point B, being practical and fun. You know,
that's the way you see it. For you, it's a thumbs up. It's a positive.
But you being a restaurant owner, wouldn't you want something like
totally.
That?
Oh, totally. I feel that way too. But we're not the guy that owns that land.
But you could still be a part of the city council meetings. Like, eventually, you know, it might not be next year, but hopefully in a few years, this dream will come alive for everyone.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it has to. But that you got to think, there is a lot of red tape that has to happen for things like this to go down.
There's obviously too much.
Yeah.
Well,
to think of how much land that is.
I mean, think of how much land is not being really used in through Central California. Come on, you've driven down the 5.
Oh,
you see what it's like, you know?
But if they're going to do a green line, they're going to kind of want to travel the coast.
I don't think so. It's a straight shot.
It's going to be like from downtown LA to Sacramento.
It'll be 2 hours versus how long does it take to fly and rent a car?
It's an hour flight.
Yeah, it's an hour flight.
But it's still the same. You know, essentially, like, you know, you get the car, you get your bags, you know, and that's the first end part, you know, traveling.
Well, I mean, just look at it through this perspective. Say, like, you know, I'm going to, San Francisco for the weekend. So you drive to LAX, park your car, check in, all that good stuff.
Take a cab. Go through security.
It sucks, man. If you're coming from Hollywood, just walk over to the Hollywood and Vine Red Line station, take it south to Union Station, get on a bullet train.
That would be insane.
Now what? What's up? What's up, Wee Man? You like that?
I'm cool with it.
Do you care?
No, I'm cool with it.
You know, I've taken the train once to San Diego. We went to Comic-Con when Jackass 3D was
screened. To promote the movie, right?
And we took the train down there. And, you know, it was the most amazing experience. I was like, wow, how come I haven't done this more? You know, and we had a blast. It was like really nice along the coast.
It was along the coast. It was nice.
But it was like, it's the first one of those, you know? So if you have one, it's like really fast. And you're like, all right, let's go up there to party. Or, you know, where are we going? You know, like, go see a baseball game, you know? And
You could catch two games. You could catch an afternoon San Diego game and then come back for a Dodger game. Dude, you could do two baseball games in one day.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone's done it.
Of course.
Well, I've done two NBA games on Christmas.
Well, that's here in town.
You did it, man.
But you didn't get on the train to go there.
You just stayed at the Staples Center.
No, it was Christmas Day. I went back to celebrate Christmas festivities.
We were at the Christmas game, too. We were at the Lakers.
Yeah. And the Lakers won.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? And then I went back to the Clipper game, and they won.
Did they?
Well, it's an awesome L.A. day.
Yeah, it was a rad day in L.A.
Look at us.
We didn't have to use our AKs.
Don't tell anybody about them.
No, so as far as public transportation talk, I mean, I think it would be awesome if you could use the Red Line to hit all your skate spots.
I'm ready to do that.
Okay.
When we make a plan, we're going to do it. We're going to film it.
We're going to go nuts.
And we're going to call it the Red Line Day.
Red Line Day with the Wee Man.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to have to be playing it every stop, though. Yeah, it's casual. Playing that song again, The Red Line.
The Red Line. The Red Line.
Maybe an acoustic version.
Red Line.
We could do that.
How
about just a drum vocal version?
How about just a smoking bar slow version? So
the Johnny Rad version?
Yeah.
The Johnny Rad version?
Yeah. We'll get Per Willander out to do like some freestyle.
Yeah, in the corner. Right. So.
Hey, Per Willander's, I know how to get a hold of him. He's right down the street.
You know what? I'd rather trade him in and get Rodney Mullen.
Oh, duh.
That would be way cooler.
All right. What are some of your favorite skate spots these days around L.A.?
I'm not telling him. I tell people my skate spots now, and the next time I go there, it's like a cake of wax is put on every spot that we just had perfectly done. And I'm not mentioning any more spots right now. I'm not even going to say which ones.
Right.
But even this weekend. Oh, I wanted to talk about spots. I was down here in downtown L.A.
On Easter, right?
On Easter. We came down with a couple buddies. We were skating spots. And we were right by the police station downtown, but we were across the street. And there's this banked wall we were skating. And a cop rolls up because our buddy kept going in the street and stuff. And we're like, we're going to get kicked out. And he comes. He goes, hey, just want to let you know, guys, if you're skating in the street, only skate when it's green.
Total public service announcement.
Totally cool. Hey, we'll only skate when the light's green. Perfect. So we're skating, and we cruise, and we're skating down the street. And this another cop comes up like about an hour later. He's like, and we just stop. We're skateboarding. That's what we're doing.
Right.
But of course asks, hey, what are you guys doing? And I was like, really? Like, okay, well, now I'm going to be a smart ass since you're asking questions that you can answer yourself. So I'm like, oh, we're riding bikes. We're smoking weed. Oh yeah. You know what else we're doing? We're selling drugs. Oh wait, before you leave, I just want to let you know we're also beating up children. And he's like,
jeez.
He's like,
obviously he recognized you.
Yeah, he goes, oh, I figured that's what you'd be doing. I know it's because of you. And then he just left.
The cop just left.
Oh. Yeah, well, dude, he pulls up. He has a dude in handcuffs. In the back seat with another cop back, and he pulls up on us to ask us, what are we doing? What do you think we're doing? We're on these wooden things with wheels. We're deciding to ride bikes instead, but there's no bikes around.
Yeah, anyone else who would say that to a cop would have been arrested.
Let's hear a cool Jackass story that we didn't see in the movie. Let's just talk about an experience you guys had together while on the road.
Let me share this.
Come on, share this.
Share it real quick.
Let's open that door.
I'm going to share a quick us out skating, taking photos.
Okay.
one.
This is this one is fun. It was during the first making of the first movie. We're in Okinawa, Japan. And I had to get ready to leave that morning to go to Okinawa with Steve-O and Chris and Jeff to do, you know, to film the whale shark bit. But I had all these firecrackers that I bought there because technically it's legal there, I guess. So I had a whole bunch, and I go to Jason's room like, hey, man, let's like start throwing some firecrackers out the window. You know, like, why not?
He's serious. He brings his whole stash and he's serious.
Whole bunch. And we just throw a couple, and I just make this whole like big one, all the fuses tied together, you know, so it's really nice. And like when you throw it out the window, it's going to be showering firecrackers for like a good like 15 seconds, you know. And I did that, and then I'm like, all right, Jason, I'll see you later.
He bails, and I go down, and the cops come to my room, and they're like, come out, and they like pull me out of the room, and they're like bringing me down to the hallway, and they're talking to me. Rick's getting in a van, leaving me, and
the cops
are about to arrest me. And luckily, we had a like Japanese translator there, and I'm like, dude, he was involved too. And she's like, oh, he's driving away, like peeling out. And I'm telling her, I'm like, all we did was throw fireworks out the window. We didn't hurt nobody. So they went and talked a little bit. And they said, okay, since you guys didn't break nothing, damage anything, and nobody got hurt, we'll let you go. But this is a big warning. Like, do not do that shit anymore in the hotel.
Yeah, they were freaked out on us there. I mean, we tried shooting this one bit that didn't make the movie, and it was Loomis trying to eat a live eel.
How big was the eel?
It was huge. It would have killed him.
The funny part was,
if you would have got that done, it would have been done. Oh, God.
Whose idea was that?
I don't know. I don't remember, but it was just horrible.
Was that for three?
No, it was for the first movie.
So there's an eel swimming like in this tank in a sushi place. And
no,
we're
it was
like,
in our hotel lobby, but we got it.
Oh, we brought it? Okay.
I think so.
I thought it was at a sushi place because it was like a tank.
Because we're in Japan.
Okay. But hold on. So nobody would do it. Loomis fucking grabs the eel out of the tank and just puts his mouth around the head like, and he can't bite into it. Like his teeth.
That's how hard the head was?
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but he couldn't cut it. Like it was like.
Because he saw this.
He was like, we got it on film. He's like. Yeah. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, holy shit, he's about to eat an eel. But luckily he didn't bite through it. He couldn't get. And dude, it was the worst. Like animal people and shit like that would have been after us. So
forever.
Forever, dude.
Yeah.
The jackass guys, that's the guys where they ate the eel alive.
Yeah, we're
going
to kill them.
Killing the eel, just, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty.
I don't know. I don't remember. I was wasted. I don't know. We were all wasted. We were about to eat the eel. I don't know if it had teeth marks.
That's so funny. Yeah, that was. That one story.
Okay, so here's a funny one. We're out skateboarding. Are we okay?
We're good.
Do you need to call your girlfriend again?
I do.
Jesus, why don't you call her on
the air?
On the air and let everybody hear. Yeah.
Come on.
What is that going
to
do?
How cool is that? She gets to be on this episode with me and Jason.
Yeah. And talk. And you guys can always talk. Hey, babe, remember when I called you on the air when we met and Rick were on the show? Let's play that again. And you're like, hey, babe, what's up? Yeah.
She comes from a whole different world.
Is she Latina? Or are you dating? Are you dating a Weta?
You know what?
Are you dating a Mexican?
I'll keep all that confidential.
Dude, you are so shy about your ladies, man, lady.
I'm shy about my private life. So.
Well, Rick and our lives are pretty much just out
there. I know. Well, you guys are the jackass guys. Yeah.
I mean, we've been pretty, I would have to say, I am very fortunate. I've been to a lot of great places around the world when we did the Wild Boys TV show.
Oh, dude, we killed it on that.
And, man, I got to really see what life is about.
So during that show, I mean, that whole time when you guys were in production or would actually go out and make episodes, you guys traveled a lot for that.
Ugh, so
we were in Kenya. We were in Thailand. Rick and I were dancing at a nightclub in
Nairobi.
Nairobi.
You were dancing in Nairobi?
In Nairobi at a like
brothel.
It was a brothel. Yeah.
We were actually trying to film a bit, but it was like, it
couldn't go down. Dude, we knew shit was weird when we all walk in and in about 10 minutes, we all have a chick around our arm. Yeah. And I look at Rick and I'm like, dude, there is no way. Like, this is the first time I'm not leaving the club with a chick that just went on my arm.
Right.
I'm giving her like $200 and say, hey, cool. Now I understand this is a brothel. I'm not bringing you back. This is insane.
So the brothel was where?
In Nairobi.
What's the story with that?
Nairobi, Kenya.
Okay. In Africa.
It's pretty much 80% AIDS.
Yeah, AIDS is really high there. So I'm just like,
I was afraid to even just touch people. Because of what is there, you know, it's scary. You know, well, like if you walk down the street and you're like, oh my God, 80% of the people right here in downtown LA like have AIDS, you'd be like, dude, I'm fucking carrying a knife and nobody's coming near me.
Right, right. So what scenes that like did you guys actually make there?
Just that. I mean, it was just one, like, we were there for a couple hours. And that was it, you know, like, that's how it would be. But for the most part, we were out in the bush, is what they refer, you know, in the wilderness.
Right.
Camping next to a river. A tribe would be like,
what?
It'd be like a tribe that would walk around or campground. And
Rick has a rad poster or a photo of me, Steve-O, and Party Boy Chris. And we're all just covered in blood. It's cow's blood mixed with cow milk, and you drink it.
Yeah, we watched them kill a cow right in front of us.
Oh, yeah, it was a tribal way.
Yeah.
It was very tribal, very spiritual. It was very, like, they did it for their food, their drink, you know, their hydration, everything.
We saw a whole, you know, just this different way of living, you know. And
so if you saw a cow killed in front of you, I mean, what was your feeling? I mean, did you?
I mean,
it was ritualistic for one thing.
You know, it was cool. I mean, I'm not like, yeah, dude, it was awesome.
They grabbed like a bow and arrow, and what they did is like they shot a bow and arrow right in the neck, and then they pulled it out, and the blood came out. And so obviously the cow died slowly, so it wasn't stressful because if it dies stress, it releases some pheromones and stuff, and it's not good. You know,
you can't eat the meat and stuff like that.
But yeah.
You learn a lot. Like, Wild Boys was an educational show. Like, I learned. I didn't know, like, if you killed a cow like that or if you killed it, you know? So, yeah, it was very ritual, and it was pretty cool.
When you guys go out there, you're probably so busy with production, and you never get a chance to skate.
When you're in Africa, you're not skating. I mean, we had skating. Our boards.
Was it Thailand or Africa?
We did a skateboard bit in Africa. Remember with the crocodiles?
With the crocodiles and stuff.
Yeah, we had our boards there, and there's something that like a little pond was drained, and they brought the crocs in, and these guys skated around the crocodiles.
How big were they?
They're big.
Oh, dude, like 6 to 10. 6'8". Yeah.
Yeah, they're big.
What was the closest you got?
I'm like right here.
Get the DVD and let's see.
Wild Boys and she could see how close season got four, to
season
out.
Three. Go to Amazon and buy the Wild Boys season 3 and 4.
Yeah. All of them actually, they're all great. But
buy the box set.
I would say season 4 was my favorite that we filmed because I really felt everyone as far as Steve-O and Chris and when Wee Man would come out and the crew, we're all working together like it was this really well oiled machine. And then Johnny Knoxville came with us to Russia. And man, and that's like when they were like, man, we need to be making a movie. And that's, you know, when number two came around, I believe, right? Was that, or?
Yeah, number two came
around after that. And it was just fun, man. We had a blast.
Right.
All the great experiences.
I got one for Wee Man. You know, what we like to do on the show is like expose our listeners to our guest's favorite spots in Los Angeles, whether it's a skate spot, which you won't tell because all the little brats wax it up.
What about restaurants?
Right? He owns a restaurant, but let's talk about maybe some of your other spots you'd like to go. Live music venues.
Oh, right. I love.
Or comedy clubs. I don't know.
Or basketball game venue arenas.
Yeah. Staples.
I do. I have to be honest. I do love the Staples Center.
So do I.
I love, dude, it's awesome.
You know what?
I love Laker games.
Me too.
And I love going to the Staples Center. Actually, you know, it's pretty cool. I have these dudes down in the normal parking lots. It's the one where you park underneath the Staples Center, but it's a little off. I have these valet dudes there. Always hook me up. They give me the same spot no matter what game or what time I go there. I just cruise down. And I pull my car into the spot. I park it, give them a couple, you know, I give them like a 10, 20 because the dudes are cool. They put a sign in, don't even, you know, nobody messes with the car. And I come back, hook them up, and then I just bail. It's real, it's in and out, real easy. It's not like the other side where it's like the VIP people with the press and all that.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
real, red carpet, it's all real low key, and the dudes are rad.
And you get in and get out.
Get
really
in,
quick.
Get out. Yeah. I get in, I meet these dudes. We go in, we watch the game, game's over, I go, and I jam back down, and I take off.
It's funny you say that about Staples Center, because I think you guys will agree. I mean, you know, growing up in SoCal, it was like the Forum and Sports Arena.
Yeah, it was far away. Downtown used to, after 5 o'clock, it shut
closed.
Down.
Yeah, lights out, and just Zombieland,
yep.
You know, and we all know, you know, where it stands today. There's a lot of activity. And as far as LA Live, I mean, yeah, I mean, like I said, like, you know, I went to both those games in one day. And yeah. It was just like, and it was really awesome just to like, you know, be in that environment. You actually feel like you're living in a city.
Yeah.
Versus like, you know, you have to drive all the way to by LAX for the Forum.
Yeah.
Or South Central for a sports arena. And, you know, back in the day, you would have to go to both to see the Clippers and Lakers or go see concerts and so forth. But you guys seem like you're pretty avid Laker fans. So what do you guys think about the season so far?
I think it's been great.
It's
been
a good season. It's had its ups and downs. But
that's sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are you a Dwight Howard fan? Let me ask you guys this.
I like Dwight. When he does play along with Kobe and they play together, you get a good game.
I like Meta Ward piece.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Artest.
I
love that guy,
dude. I love Artest. He's just rad. Dude, he is.
Was he in the Funny Farm?
I
love the interviews on Time Warner Cable on the Lake Show. I love watching that, dude. I'm like, what is he saying?
That's what I'm saying. What? No, what I love is you would think the game is so out of control and Ron's just over there waving his arms and nothing's going to happen. And he gets past a ball and he's in the 3-point shot and just swishes it. And it's just such an amazing feeling when the heat's on, they're down by 2 or 3, and Ron's making the comeback. It's, I love it.
Yeah. I mean, this season is, you know, really just so many events happening from, you know, the death of Bus.
Yep.
And the changeover of
the coach.
And then the injuries. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, and you guys seem like you're pretty diehard Laker
that's
fans.
That's a big change. In the whole everything.
The chemistry. And then you see like Kobe playing sick and just pulling off, you know, all these, breaking these records.
Yeah.
I mean.
He wants it.
Yeah.
He's MVP, dude. It's fun. Yeah, you hear the crowd screaming it every time.
Every time.
Every time they're playing and he has the ball. MVP.
Do you think, I mean, you know, it's team sports, but I mean, just internally, do you think that it's hard for them to get in rhythm as a team because, I mean, people don't want to fall in line. And
I think
it's Kobe's team, like someone like Dwight, it seems like there's a little conflict.
That's what I'm saying. It does happen. But
like a band, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like if you had some dude in your band and you tried out to have a bass player and it's casual and for some reason he's just not vibing with you, you know, and that's, you want to kick him off or, you know, it's like, it's not going to work.
Right.
Same thing with probably a basketball team. You get all these major egos
and they all want to be
the star, you know,
have to play together to make,
even though everyone
team
knows their role in the team, you know,
exactly,
you know, and that's the whole thing, you know, there's obviously the chemistry of the different, you know, people. And but
being diehard Laker fans, do you guys even care about the Clippers?
No, I wish.
No, I like the Clippers.
I wish the Clippers went to Anaheim.
like the Angels.
Yeah,
just get the hell out of
they
here
they were supposed to.
Really?
Yeah, this is L.A. Lakers territory. And you know what I'm really pissed about? Fans that went and now became, that are only sunny day fans, that went and became Clipper fans. I hope they stay Clipper fans, because true Laker fans are true Laker fans. You go down with the ship,
right,
and then you come up when it's the glory. You don't just come out on
Sunday.
It's like
Sunday the Yankees,
days.
Right?
It's I wish you were wearing a Lakers jersey right now. You look so good in that, right? Seeing that speech.
Hell yeah. I love the Lakers.
I just want to see gold coming off them right now.
Dude, hell yeah.
I mean, that game on Christmas, you know, Lakers won, beat the Knicks. That was
huge.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of, like, I think their little turnaround, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, it was.
they played well. And last I saw the last game with Gasol back, and it's nice to see Gasol and Howard, two big guys on the court.
You know, I love Gasol.
Yeah, he plays with finesse. You know, at first
love him.
Yeah, at first I thought people were, I used to give him shit for like just kind of being, you know, somewhat of a pushover.
Dorky, white, funny guy, kind of crybaby every time he would get hit and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's his personality.
Exactly.
But he still gets the job done.
He's
there to play basketball and he does. What he does for fun and all that and overreacts when he gets hit and stuff.
Let it happen.
Dude, it is awesome. I love it. That is his personality and it sticks.
So is Steve Nash going to be around for another year, right? It's a 2-year contract.
I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
Not too worried about him.
Not worried about Nash, the professor. Yeah. Well, I mean, any other basketball talk you guys want
to speaking of basketball talk, not to change the teams because love the Lakers. Did you see the dude, the college basketball
pop
dude.
Out?
Oh, I never saw. Heard about this.
Compound fracture, dude.
Did you see it?
Dude, his picture
is it on YouTube?
It was check Twitter. It's a picture, dude. The bone is fully out.
What's his name?
I don't know. I had to flick it too fast. What is it? Kevin Weir.
Thank you, Adam.
Hashtag Kevin Weir.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look at it tonight when I get home.
Dude, it is it's shin bone.
And
completely
I just love
out.
It all. He said, "Just win the game, just win," and they won. You know, I'm like,
"Oh, dude, of course you're gonna win the game
your
for
your dude gets
bro
a compound
like
fracture.
That.
You better win the fucking game." You know what I'm saying?
Jeez.
You guys gotta take the blue line to a Laker game. You gotta try that out.
Why would I can't? It's a little out of the way for me.
No, it's not.
I'd have to take the red line.
Hey, I take the 110. I get off on Adams.
Dude, but the freeways are not so nice.
They are when you. Hey, they are when you.
They
cruise,
are in your world.
They are when you cruise the 6-2, bro.
Yeah, but you know what? To be honest with you,
I've taken the red line to some of the X games,
right?
Because it's
same
easy,
way.
You
red
know?
Line,
yeah,
get off
I've
on
that.
And just walk.
It's just depending on the situation for me. You know, there's a lot of times I use the red line to come into downtown because it's convenient. And I can walk quick to where I need to get to and not have to worry to park. Just park up in Hollywood, jump on. Next thing you know, I can handle what I need to handle in downtown LA.
You get wasted and take the red line back.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah,
that's what you did. You know, that's how you do Van Halen at Staples Center. You just don't drive. You know,
just
go off and
you know what'd be really cool to do that is when they do the LA Art Walk.
Yeah.
And you can just take the train down and you can walk around because everyone's out, you know, and so that'd be pretty cool.
When is the LA Art Walk?
Second Thursday, right? Or first Thursday?
I don't know the dates, but I know that's
every week.
Yeah.
No, it's the second Thursday of every month.
I mean every month. Thursday of every month.
You know there's another really big art community in Los Angeles is Culver City. I've recently discovered.
Right. Well, you know what? Let's back up. Let's talk about your latest piece of video art that you put up.
Rick.
Yeah. So
tell the fine people out there in Los Angeles and Easter world what you recently documented.
Yeah, recently over the summer, I was hanging out with this pro skater named Chad Muska, and he's an artist, and he had a studio in the Fairfax district, and basically, you know, he's just working on his stuff and kind of made his own little gallery and for people to come together and hang out and share what's going on. And so I hung out with him, you know, throughout the summer and put together a nice little video. And you can watch it right now on my website. That's www.rickspics.tv or rickkosick.com. And I thought it turned out great. Did you watch it?
I did. It was awesome. And you put some interesting background music.
Yeah, I'm really happy with that. Good range of things I'm inspired and what inspired Chad at that time.
Yeah, he was like going all hours of the night listening to Sun, right? The Southern Lord Band, like to listen to it.
Yeah, I turned him on to that song and he just loved it. And he would actually use that song when he didn't want certain people in the studio.
You know, to run him out?
Oh, yeah. Like they'd be like, what the hell is this? You know, like, but yeah, he was totally into all that ambient music when he was working and just doing his thing, you know. It was like a cool moment, you know, for the area of Fairfax.
So I know you're always busy with different things. I know there's a lot of things that you're involved that you can't talk about.
Yeah, and there's things, right? You know, there's a show that
there's
I shot.
Talk. Yeah.
There's a TV show that I shot that's being played on Adult Swim, and it's called Loiter Squad.
Yep, that's all you
And the star is Tyler, the Creator. Odd Future. I'm sure some of you have heard of that guy.
Yep.
He's a rap guy and his little crew of friends. And we, you know, it's a Dick House show. And that's pretty fun. It's a 15-minute show, like, you know, Adult Swim style. And that's playing right now every Sunday at midnight.
Right. And Wee Man, in addition to your Chronic Tacos restaurant, anything else you want to plug as far as any other projects?
I don't know if I can.
What about your new shoe coming out?
I was just going to say that, but it comes out spring 2014. We're working on a new shoe.
About a year away?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's being designed right now.
I guess that takes time.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. We're going to start advertising it probably September, early September. You know, start advertising it, getting in the stores and stuff. It's from DVS.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's going to be cool. It's this time around, it's my second shoe from them. And it's going to be all centered around my 62 Impala. So it's going to, we're going to.
Feed me, homie.
Orale. You know, it's going to be full 62 Impala style. It's sweet. I got a regular skate shoe coming out, a kid's shoe, and a Orale Vato, like slip-on.
Oh, corduroy.
Corduroy slip-on.
The cholo slips, man. The timeless.
The ones to wear around the house.
Yes. Or while driving. My driving shoes, eh?
Well, no. Wow. No, you walk to Walmart in those.
Where's a Walmart in Los Angeles?
That's Eastville style. You walk to Target with all the kids and the cholo slippers.
No, you walk to the ice cream truck, eh? And you get a...
You buy the little limon salt packs.
Yeah, the limon salt packs for the coronas. Yeah. And the, when you're eating your menudo on Sunday.
When
you're
on Sunday when I'm hungover.
And that's a wrap, guys. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, I just want to say hi to the three people that called in, the three listeners.
Me and the one guy?
The one guy that called three times.
Right? His alter egos. That was his alter egos. And thanks to the Market Grill in Monrovia for providing the great grub for tonight and for sponsoring the show.
Next time you're going to have a good show, we're going to have Wee Man's Chronic Tacos. What? Don't be scared.
And you won't be so embarrassed about farting.
We're not going to be as scared.
You will. Don't be as scared.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Rick, for bringing me, too.
Yeah, awesome. You're welcome. Thank you.